Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Even when we're clear that I can't be a part of this and I can't affirm this.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Pastor J.D. Greer shares how Christians can stand firm in conviction.
Maybe it has to do with how you're being asked to use pronouns or refer to gender. I mean, there's a million examples we could come up with. Even there, I can still lead with grace. I want to be filled with truth. I never want it to be said of our generation that we did not teach the whole counsel of God with clarity. But if we're going to reach this generation, we're going to be like Jesus in that we lead with grace and that we're characterized by grace and that we're not just filled with truth, we're filled with that holy, beautiful love that doesn't just push people away and put Facebook posts up about them, but draws them close.
More from Pastor J.D. Greer about showing the love of Jesus to a broken world at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Free Talk California. I am Susanna Luthi. We have two guests today to discuss two big Supreme Court rulings that came down just after my show last week. And a lot to unpack today. We are starting out with an old source of mine from Washington, D.C., Mike Davis. He is going to help us unpack the birthright citizenship case. So, Mike, are you with us?
I am. Thank you very much for having me on. And I just wrote a Fox News opinion piece on this after the Supreme Court ruling came out. This was one of the worst rulings that has come out of the Supreme Court in its history. It's right up there with the Dred Scott decision, which is the decision the proponents and ratifiers of the 14th Amendment of the Supreme Court meant to overturn with the birthright citizenship provision. And just very briefly for your viewers, how this works. After the Civil War, we have the post-Civil War amendments, the 13th Amendment to free the slaves, the 14th Amendment to provide equal protection of due process to the freed slaves, and the 15th Amendment to provide voting rights to the freed male slaves. That was extended to women with the 19th Amendment. Part of the birthright citizenship provision, part of the 14th Amendment was the birthright citizenship provision. And the reason this was included is because the Supreme Court and the Dred Scott decision said that the children of the freed slaves are not they're not citizens of the United States, which was just, it defeated the purpose of the Civil War, right? The whole point of the Civil War, the Civil Rights Amendments, was to provide the equal protection, the due process. And so that's why we have the birthright citizenship provision in the 14th Amendment. And it's very clear, you have to have two things. You have to be born in the United States, and you have to be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. And that the subject to the jurisdiction has a distinct legal meaning. It means allegiance to the United States. So children of foreign ambassadors are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Invading armies are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. The children of the American Indians were not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. American Indians do not have birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment. That was extended to American Indians through statute by Congress in 1924. So ask this dispositive question. If American Indians do not have birthright citizenship, how the heck do illegal aliens? How do Chinese birth tourists? We have 1.5 million Chinese birth tourists coming here having their kids taking the kids back to China, never stepping foot in America again. These kids are now supposedly American citizens. They get a passport. They get all the rights of citizenship, Social Security number, Social Security benefits. They can actually mail in their votes now when they turn 18 years old from China into American elections in a country in which they have never stepped foot. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling, with the Chief Justice joining the four women, Amy Coney Barrett, who's a disaster, and the three liberal women, the Supreme Court ruled in a 5-4 ruling that virtually anyone who comes to America and has a kid, including illegal aliens, including Chinese birth tourists, are now American citizens under the 14th Amendment. It is a grotesque abuse. It's stealing, really, of we the people's most crucial sovereign power and responsibility to decide who comes and goes and to decide who becomes one of us. It's an unacceptable ruling.
So you've been watching the court for a very long time. I met you when you were a staffer on the Senate Judiciary Committee, I believe during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. Were you still a staffer then?
Yes, you got it right.
Yes, yes. So this obviously has been, it was considered a big risk for Trump to try with an executive order to challenge this kind of longstanding assumption about the 14th Amendment. But it seems to me that besides the dissenters, that Roberts would have at least grappled with what the principle of birthright citizenship has become. I've spent a lot of time in other countries, and birth tourism has just been a thing ever since. I didn't realize it was a thing when I went abroad at 21 years old. But in Egypt, you know, every upper class woman would try to come here to have her baby. I lived in the South Pacific. Tongan women would try to get visas just before they were due to come over and have babies. And by the way, that included, you know, free of charge births in hospitals, because hospitals couldn't ever collect payment. It adds, there's lots of consequences from this policy.
Yes.
Why didn't this come up with Roberts and the majority opinion?
Because I think they put their vanity over our sovereignty. I think they put their vanity over our national security. I think they put their vanity over our country. Think about this. If you are a Chinese mother, you come here, have your Chinese kid, that kid is an American citizen with the full privileges and immunities, the rights of being a citizen, and they go back to China and they are trained by the CCP for the next 18 years of their lives, and then they become adults and they're sent to America as U.S. citizens. We can't keep them out. So these are they're gonna breed this pipeline of CCP spies and CCP voters who are directly affecting our national security, who are affecting our elections.
Well, and we're seeing this in California already, because ballots are sent out of the country to Mexico and so forth. So we're already seeing it, that foreign interests can have a say in our elections. Mike, we do have a caller, so
yes,
stay tuned. Hello, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Just two questions. So a Chinese kid is born, goes back to China as an infant a couple weeks old, never comes here again. And when he turns 18, should the United States by then have a draft? Could they draft him and call him back here to be in our army? And do they require him, having never been back here, to pay income taxes if he has a wealthy business going in China?
Good question. Mike?
Great questions. I mean, frankly, we wouldn't want him in our army because he's been trained by the CCP to subvert us. And so it's a very good question, though, and I get the caller's point. But, I mean, yeah, you could do a draft. And you can certainly make them pay income taxes because they're citizens. They'd have to renounce their citizenship in order to avoid taxes. Maybe that's what Congress needs to look at, is drafting these people. Just draft them and, you know, make them come to America and work on a base where they can't cause any damage. And for the income taxes, if you're an American citizen living abroad, we need to whack them with income taxes.
So there was a lot of commentary after this ruling that basically there's going to be no fix now. But I also looked at Brett Kavanaugh's it was a concurring opinion, so he dissented in part. But basically, he seemed to open the door to some kind of congressional act to perhaps fine-tune what birthright citizenship means, to close this loophole for birth tourism. What's the scuttle in Washington about what comes next?
Well, here's the problem. There were five justices, the chief justice and the four women who ruled under the 14th Amendment. Just about anyone who's born in America gets birthright citizenship. So Justice Kavanaugh's concurring opinion has no weight. They already have the five votes. I think his opinion was how he would have ruled if he were waving a magic wand, but he doesn't have a magic wand because he doesn't have five votes.
So is there any room for Congress to do anything?
No. I mean, it would have to be a constitutional amendment to overrule this decision, or it would have to be like Roe versus Wade 50 years from now when they realize what an egregiously wrong decision it is. The Supreme Court could overturn it. It would be hard for the court to do that. But here's what needs to happen. Is that now the Trump administration, Mark Wayne Mullen, the DHS secretary, his new ICE person who's going through the nomination process from Oklahoma, they need to quadruple at least these deportations, right? And they need to start with women who are pregnant or could be pregnant and get them the hell out of our country. If you're going to steal our most crucial sovereign power and responsibility as we the people to control who becomes one of us, then there needs to be severe consequences for that. The severe consequences are quadruple illegal the deportation of illegal immigrants, again, with the birthing persons, as the Democrats call women who can have kids, and get them the hell out of our country and do it with no mercy and as fast as possible.
What is the administration signaling in the wake of this ruling?
I think they understand that they have to increase deportations. And, it's anytime anyone complains that, oh, it's so terrible, you're going after women, and, too bad. It's just too damn bad. This is the consequence of stealing our most crucial sovereign power and responsibility. And I would say this, that children, maybe under the Supreme Court ruling, the children of illegal aliens could be American citizens, but their mothers and fathers are not. So get them the hell out of our country. And if their kids want to stay behind, have at it, kids. But I have a feeling these kids will go home with their parents. And so that's one way to do it. And therefore, by doing that, you'll make it clear that they're not having more kids in America. So again, no mercy. We need to get illegal aliens the hell out of our country. I used to be a lot more sympathetic, a lot more liberal on immigration 10 years ago than I am now. But after Obama and Biden especially, mass imported people, in Biden's case, 20 million people from all over the world, including the worst trouble spots, and now we're going to give these kids the golden ticket of American citizenship? Hell no. Get them out of our country.
Right. I was looking at an op-ed in National Review called Birthright Citizenship After, is it Barbara was the case name?
Yes, Barbara, Trump versus Barbara.
Oh, Barbara. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was Barbara or Barbara. But basically, they lamented the fact that the 14th Amendment framers did not leave kind of the broader scope of that question to Congress. And, you know, because obviously back then, birth tourism wasn't a thing. It wasn't practical in the 1860s. People weren't going to be flying from across the world. They couldn't fly, but they weren't going to be traveling across the world to have a baby. That was just not not practical. And so you mentioned that you can tighten deportation, increase deportations. What about if a Democrat takes office? Does Congress have any ability to do anything to at least moderate or restrain the birth tourism aspect of this before the next administration comes in?
Yeah, here's what can happen is Congress can say that no federal funds can be spent on illegal aliens, and anyone who uses federal funds on illegal aliens should face criminal prosecution and losing all of their federal funds. We need to get very tough about this and make it part of the law, right? Make it a crime to give any money to illegal aliens and make it a crime for them to take any money and make it financially ruinous if you try to give money to illegal aliens. And that includes money from state and local governments, Catholic charities that take federal money, other nonprofit organizations. We need to get, and this is coming from a Catholic who used to donate to Catholic charities, no more, because I think that they run a human trafficking organization, but we just have to get serious about this. Remember, this isn't, we're dealing with cartels, we're dealing with human trafficking, we're dealing with sex trafficking. 300,000 kids went missing under Biden. They're bringing in a lot of bad people with these 20 million people, including Tren de Aragua, MS-13, gangbangers, rapists, murderers, robbers. We don't have to put up with this. Like, we see before Biden took office how Trump had the border under control, and you see now how Trump has the border under control. The Democrats are mass importing these illegal aliens because they're trying to change our populace. Yes, the replacement theory is not a theory. They're trying to do it. They know that Americans with our Judeo-Christian values are not going to go along with Marxism. So Democrats are bringing in third world Marxists to replace us as voters.
Well, in California, I did quite a bit of reporting on the migrant NGOs, and it's just massive. When Trump came in, the state used it as an excuse to pour millions and millions more into these groups, which do a few things. They do voter harvesting, ballot harvesting, and they also basically help illegal immigrants bring more family in. They give them legal advice and legal help to stay here. Basically, taxpayer-funded mechanism to enable mass migration. And it's just wild to me that that exists and that hasn't been tamped down on. And that's obviously a state enterprise, but under Biden, and I'm not sure, probably under Obama, but under Biden, the feds were doing the same thing to the similar groups that just kind of formed overnight with $500. And then within a few years, they're pulling in millions of dollars in federal and state funds.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem is that it leads to this chain migration, mass migration. We are America. We believe in immigration, but we don't want to be taken advantage of, meaning people who should come, we should accept people here who want to work, who want to assimilate, who do not want to come here and take welfare, who are not going to be a public charge, who are going to add value to our society. That's the way we've always been. But when Biden intentionally opened our border and mass imported people from all over the world, including third world Marxist hellholes where the people do not share our values and do not like us, do not want to become one of us, they want to destroy us, like you see with Islamists, it's not acceptable anymore. We the people, the sovereign citizens of America, need to stop this. We stop this by making Congress cut off all the incentives to come here, carrots and sticks. We need to make sure that we're not funding these NGOs, that we're not funding sanctuary states, that we're not funding sanctuary cities, that we're not funding illegal immigrants through our healthcare systems or our welfare systems or our education systems. And we just have to do it with no mercy, because if we don't do it with no mercy, it's not going to end. I'm sorry if these people think it's a bad thing that we're throwing out birthing age women, but too bad, right? If they can have kids, then they have anchor babies, and then they have chain migration, and then we have we don't have America anymore.
Well, I can tell you that this was the policy not long ago. When I was living in Egypt, a close friend of mine was a young single woman from Ethiopia, and this was the reason she was not allowed into the United States. She would have been a great citizen. she was let into Canada instead. But that was the entire reason why she was not let in. And so this is not a new concept. And I mean, I one thing, even my liberal days, that I believed, and it's just common sense, is if you import a significant amount of people who have no concept of what the Constitution means, what constitutional rights mean, that's the end of our form of government. And the bill is due. We're seeing this in all the neo-Marxists that are popping up and poised to enter Congress next year, saying that the United States should be eradicated and that 9/11 should have happened, and you know, basically the order that we know should be overthrown. That's the bill that's due. That was going to happen.
Yeah. You look, when you import the third world, you become the third world.
Yeah, so anyway, that's all the time we have for our chat with Mike. Thanks so much, Mike, for calling in. Stay with us, everyone. We are going to go on to happier news from the Supreme Court. Next with Amy Ichikawa talking about the girls' sports ruling. So, yes, we took care of the depressing one first. All right, don't go away. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. Belgium appealed FIFA's decision to allow Team USA star player Flo Balogun to play in tonight's round of 16 World Cup match, but the governing body rejected the appeal. Fox's Jonathan Hunt.
They have ruled Belgium's appeal against the reinstatement of Flo Balogun for tonight's critical game as inadmissible. They say that Belgium was not a party to this process and therefore has no standing for that appeal.
Tonight's round 16 matchup is on Fox at 8 Eastern Time. President Donald Trump ringing the opening bell of the New York Stock Exchange from the White House, marking the July 4th launch of the Trump accounts. The president is heading to Turkey tonight for the NATO summit ahead of Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu's expected visit to the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Hi, welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. So we just reviewed the birthright citizenship case. Well, there's another big ruling that same day that came down that liberals did not like, but people like me have been waiting for it for a long time. And for some reason, the call dropped with Amy's, but I'm sure we'll get her right back. So Amy Ichikawa has been a guest on the show quite a few times at this point. She has been fighting for incarcerated women who have been in prison, imprisoned alongside intact men who claim that they are transgender. And she has been fighting for just against the madness of the current progressive doctrine that there is no difference between men and women, that men can be women when they want. And nowhere has this been more pervasive, particularly in our state, than in girls' sports. So unpacking this ruling will be myself and Amy. Amy, are you with us?
I am. Hi.
Yay. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened earlier, but thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So the reason I wanted to have Amy on is because I didn't know this ruling had happened. I had just been coming from milking the cow, and I got a text from her saying, "Did you see what happened?" And I thought, okay, I know it's a Supreme Court ruling because this is morning time, and know what happened. So anyway, let's just summarize it briefly. So this was not a California case that went to the Supreme Court. This was two states that had prohibited boys from playing on girls' sports, West Virginia and Idaho. They were brought into, they were enjoined in lawsuits, and the lawsuits were going, were a mixed bag. And so it finally went to the Supreme Court. We've been waiting for this for years at this point, it feels like. But about a year ago, it was clear that this was going to come up sooner or later. And in fact, I feel like the Supreme Court justices were begging this to come before them. So anyway, all that said, this restores the integrity of Title IX. So anyway, so did you expect this ruling, Amy? And what's been the reaction from both our pro-woman corner and the activists that you are up against all the time?
Well, honestly, I wasn't expecting great news. I didn't sleep for the entire week leading up to the announcement, leading up to the ruling. I was super nervous, but I'm very pleased with the way they did make their decision. It just, you know, makes sense, and it's exactly what we've all been saying for years. Everybody on the pro side is excited. However, you know, I don't think it's time to prematurely celebrate. You know, this is, you know, we have 27 states that are going to respect this, and 23, including our own home state, that are going to completely ignore this and do everything they can to fight against it. So I'm not considering it a complete win, but it's a great start, and it's a great place to be. We definitely needed this win, I think, to get over this hurdle, because we've just been kind of stagnant.
Yes.
And it's been rough, you know, like with the lawsuits here in California, it's just at a standstill. So this is that extra push. The phones have been down in our prisons for a week now. They just turned on this morning, actually. So I haven't had a chance to get much feedback from the ladies inside, but I know they're going to be excited. It's just another process that we have to start all over again. We really have to go by the book and file the grievances and exhaust all of our, you know, administrative remedies and get primed for lawsuits, basically.
Yes, yes. So you said a lot there. So let's unpack. I guess my first little curious question was, you were very nervous. I was too, but I thought I did glimpse into the arguments, and I was pretty sure it was going to go this way. What were you concerned about?
Just that it was going to be the worst thing ever. I really thought I was kind of hesitant after the glyphosate rulings, the weird ones out that they had unexpected outcomes. I was thinking maybe there was going to be some compromise there, but no, I was just being, you know, extra paranoid and overly.
Well, I understand what you mean, because I can't remember which ruling it was, but it was their first transgender ruling. I think about the the actual transitions of kids, or one of the parental rights cases, maybe.
That they didn't want to hear.
Yes, but I think Amy Coney Barrett said some concerning things during arguments. And there was, it was like, are you really going to randomly decide that male and females don't exist? You know?
Right. And that was just such a possibility, because, you know, we live in a crazy place in a crazy time. So as obvious as this might have been, I still felt like there was a possibility that they could just totally end it for all of us. I had my horrible, you know, statement ready in case they did rule against us. And I was just going to say that, you know, the Supreme Court has unfortunately handed down a slow death sentence to all women. But thank God I didn't have to use that one, because that's how important this is. It's all in the language. Whoever controls the language controls the world. And we just can't let them take this word.
Absolutely.
At all.
Absolutely. I'm going to read a portion from the ruling because it's just injected into my veins, please. Let's see. I quote, separate sports teams for biological males. I wish they hadn't said biological. I wish they just said males and females, but. Separate sports teams for biological males and biological females are reasonable, given the inherent physical differences between the sexes. Allowing only biological females to play on women's and girls' teams can reduce the risk of physical injury and ensure fair competition. And let's see, with respect to safety, allowing biological males to play on women's and girls' sports teams can put women and girls at significant risk of injuries. The safety risks are particularly severe in contact sports. And as to competitive fairness, allowing biological males to play on women's and girls' sports teams can put female athletes at a serious disadvantage. That is because sports are generally zero sum. Yes, I would think that this ruling has a lot of potential. Well, it should in a reasonable world. We know we live in a mad world, but right. Should have a lot of influence on what happens to the women in prison.
Yes. I mean, they laid the language out for us, and now, you know, the women in the 23 states that we still have, you know, no real definition between male and female, we're definitely going to have to start making our constitutional claims, our state and federal constitutional claims. We're going to have to, you know, just start over again and do everything by the book, so that there's no holes, there's no way for the opposition to discredit anything. We're going to have to take the emotion out of stuff and really get factual, and we just need women to stand up for themselves.
We need women to stand up. Now, yeah. I mean, one of the big issues is that, well, as you know, every year the legislature is basically taking a fine-tooth comb, finding every code and replacing sex with gender identity, removing the word woman, removing the word female. And it is going to be just a baffling task to just restore reality to our legal system in the state.
Especially, yes, in our state. It's going to be pretty intense. But I think if we use, you know, a multi-pronged plan of action, it'll be the most effective. If somebody tackles, you know, California Title 15 regulations and pushes for policy change in the implementation of SB 132, that'll be one area. Then we have to work on repealing it, and then we have to work on you know, the lawsuits at the same time. So we're going to be busy. At least there's a lot of stuff to do, but it is going to be intense. It's going to be a lot. And it always seems like there's so much more work to do. No matter how many wins we get, the prison issue just is a continuing uphill battle. Because I think that the opposition knows if you know, people give up and stop complaining about this and they can just make this problem go away, they can go ahead and easily execute this across the board. Because once it's finally finished and locked in the prison system, then it's a wrap. So,
yes.
Yeah, I have my work cut out for me, and I'm ready to go. A lot of the women, you know, inside have kind of just accepted this, unfortunately, and are, you know, very supportive of this, and they've been groomed and conditioned to think that this is okay and this is the way the world works now by the NGOs that go in and are funded by, you know, the machine. So it's a little harder for me to get them to come forward now, but there are still a handful of you know, core individuals who are reality based, who are not giving in, and they're not so easily distracted by the little sparkly things that the other people bring in to get them distracted and to just get them to conform.
So, that's really devastating to hear that women are getting broken down and that their just sense of reality is being warped.
It's bad. It's so bad. I talked to a woman a couple weeks ago who said, you know, she actually was in a physical altercation with one of these men. And she ended up having to go to administrative segregation, and there was nowhere to release her once her shoe term was up because that person had so many enemy concerns that there was just nowhere else to put them. She had to be transferred to a different prison. So she said whenever she talks about this, you know, a lot of the ladies inside are off-put, and they're like, hey, you can't say that. Why are you being transphobic? Because they have really been conditioned to think that somehow they have to protect these men, or, you know, that they have to assimilate and support them, or else they're mean and they're never going to go home.
Oh, wow.
It's awful.
So the bullying has really worked.
Yeah, it has. It has. They know that it's because they see that these people have so much support. They see who comes in, who gets legal visits. And the only way to counter that is really to keep them educated, keep them, you know, in the know about what's going on. Because nobody would know that there are so many women and, you know, individuals fighting the good fight out here because it's not in mainstream media. And if I'm not sending that information in, they're just not going to get it.
Hmm. Are you still the only one who is really leading the charge on this, on the prison front?
In California, yeah. Nationally, I mean, we're cooking with gas. There's a nice group of women, like a good collection of women on the front lines that are, you know, doing their paperwork, getting all this stuff documented, you know, sharing all this information with the DOJ, trying to get investigations going in their states. There's an awesome team of women in Maine that are taking care of the ladies up there. They've found legal representation. They have a lawsuit in the works. Washington State has their lawsuit going, and that's going to be awesome. They learned from all of our mistakes. We're getting ready to refile here in California for Chandler versus CDCR. There's a few. It's just, you know, quiet, and I don't say too much on social media or, you know, really announce what we're doing anymore just because it's twisted, and I don't want to give the opposition any more advantages than they already have.
So what happened? So Chandler versus CDCR was the first lawsuit brought by a few... several women in California's main women's prison. Is it Chowchilla?
Yes.
In the Valley?
Yes, in the Central Valley, and it was dismissed again.
Oh, it was dismissed again. That's what I was going to ask.
Yes. unfortunately was dismissed again, but not with prejudice. So they're working on making some adjustments. We've actually got a couple more plaintiffs, and we're going to have a lot of support for you.
Oh. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Amy. Do you have time to stay on after the break? Okay, great. All right. Well, stay with us, everyone. We will be back to continue unpacking this so frustrating issue with Amy Ichikawa from Woman to Woman. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be back after these messages.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages kicking off the new trading week higher as the AI trade gains momentum, with tech stocks among the biggest winners, in the Dow notching its 21st record close of the year and finishing above the 53,000 level for the first time. It was just last Monday when the Dow ended above the 52,000 milestone. Tech and industrials advance while healthcare lagged. Memory stocks and chips are regaining their footing, with shares of Advanced Micro Devices jumping over 7% following an upgrade from Goldman Sachs. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were mostly higher, led by Tesla and Apple. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, IBM, and Boeing. The Dow decliners, United Health, Amgen, and Home Depot. The Dow up 156 points, the Nasdaq higher by 289, S&P 500 up 54. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and we are speaking with Amy Ichikawa from Woman to Woman. So one thing I wanted to ask you before the break, Amy, and that's why I'm glad you got to stay on, is you've been all over the place. You've worked so hard in Sacramento, speaking with hostile lawmakers, friendly lawmakers. You've been putting in a lot of work federally now, too. It seems that every time I text you, you're in Washington. So where would you say your focus now, federal or state, where are you seeing? Obviously, California is just a hostile state at this point, but it is really important to keep pushing. And are you seeing any give here?
Well, unfortunately, no. There's been a few legislators who've openly said, just let you know, Wiener finish his term out, and we can help you. But of course, I'm never going to wait for that. I'm just going to, you know, take another avenue.
Wait, can I stop you there? So Scott Wiener, our favorite state senator from San Francisco, who is gunning for Nancy Pelosi's seat and seems poised to get it. So legislators don't want to do anything until he leaves. Are they scared of him?
They are. And I think it's because he is on so many different committees, and he's just going to kill all of their, you know, useless bills, and they all seem to be in competition to see who can publish the most, you know, unnecessary legislation annually. And if they make him mad, then they're not going to win. So it could be that. I don't know what else he's holding over them, but they are afraid of him. Oh, very.
And this is the man, by the way, who just killed a bill to make it illegal for pedophiles to run for public office, including school boards. So this is this is the man we're dealing with here. Wow.
And his arguments in that situation were exactly the same when he was arguing against SB 311, which you know, we sponsored with Senator Shouten Grove to prohibit sex offenders from being qualified to transfer from men's to women's prisons, and to require the Department of Corrections to create separate housing for men who identify as women within the women's prison. He said the same thing. You can't discriminate against offender registrants because this is far too broad of a brushstroke, and you just can't do that. And we all know that the sex offender register was created to, you know, further marginalize LGBTQ people. This is his thing. I can't believe he said that out loud and doesn't hear
himself. Yes. Well, what I don't understand is why people are so afraid of him and how he garnered so much power, because they have to give him the power to be afraid. If you're afraid of someone, you are ceding all your authority to that person. And the fact that he is going, that he somehow has whatever aura he must have that impels people to follow his every whim, it worries me extremely that he's going to Congress, because the same principles of high school apply in Congress, certainly, as apply in the state houses. So what are you seeing on the federal front?
They move a lot faster when, you know, they are able to than state, you know, than the state does. I'm really thankful that they initiated the investigation in California and Maine, and I think their findings are, well, I'm hopeful that their findings are going to lead to a nationwide investigation. They're moving quick. I think they're going to have it wrapped up within the next couple months.
What are they investigating, the women's prison issue?
They are investigating whether or not women's constitutional rights are being violated by, you know, the mixed sex housing. Their cruel and unusual punishments, religious freedom, freedom of speech, the same arguments that were in the Chandler lawsuit, basically.
Wow, I didn't even know this was happening.
Yes, so much happening. It's very exciting. I can't believe it's really happening. It's been surreal being able to, you know, share that with people inside and out has been just extremely rewarding, because we worked really, really hard to get to this point. And I was so happy to just hand over all the information I had. It was quite rewarding. I never thought that it was going to, I hoped it was going to lead up to this moment, but I, you know, wasn't sure, but it did. And I'm so thankful, and I'm very appreciative to the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ. They're wonderful. And I trust them fully to go in there and get the truth. And that's what I've suggested from the very beginning. You know, I interview everybody, talk to everybody there. Your goal should be to get the truth. And I mean, if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. I don't think I am, but that's been, you know, my focus from the beginning. Just get the truth, and that's all. And it's gonna fix everything. because it's pretty undeniable that it's horrible. And I think they're going to be able to decipher that from everybody they talk to inside.
So what could be the result of this investigation?
Well, they could, we can use this as a tool to get the friendly legislators to help with amendments to SB 132. You know, I'm trying to think creatively and, you know, logically, because our state makes so little sense. I have to, you know, be kind of a magician in the game plan department. I think this will hold water with the Department of Corrections. We can probably get some amendments or adjustments made to the implementation part of SB 132, because they do have some room to take women's safety into consideration. But what I have to do is constantly take women out of it and make it just general safety concerns, which is
When it's a sex-based problem, that's very, very difficult.
I got depressed for a while. I was pretty sad about it, because I just felt like I was going to disappoint everybody, and that, you know, we have fought so hard as women for these women's rights, and now I have to turn around and say everyone has the right to respect, agency, and dignity. Everyone needs to be housed in a safe environment, and unfortunately, that's possibly the only way that we can get women in prison in California any type of safety is if we make this an all-person problem.
Even though it's wild. It's wild to me that this could be done so quickly, this complete social reengineering upheaval that had never been done before, it violates every common sense of decency. And yet it takes so much to undo it. I think it's a lesson for all of us. Defend what we have and that we know is good, because it's so much harder overturning it. No one else is going to save us except people like Amy, who are out there doing the really hard work. But once it's gone, it's gone. Yeah. And it is... Like, this is why I scream so loudly about these little nothing bills that redefine sex, that redefine women, that erase women, erase men, because we are building an insane house of cards code of law where male and female does not exist. And that is insane. That is insane.
You can't protect something you can't define. And we just really have to fight for the word woman, like our lives depend on it, because our lives do depend on it. If there wasn't so much power behind the word woman, they wouldn't be fighting to, you know, change the definition so much.
Yes, and we can go down so many rabbit holes on the future of birth and why they hate women so much. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say that they like men any better, but it's a weird evil world that they want to build. But we don't have time to go into that today. Amy, where can people find your work? How can they reach you?
Please visit our website at www.womaniiwoman.org. I'm pretty active on Twitter, ICHIX310, and that's pretty much it. We have a really nice blog going, and we'll take subscribers to our
You're cutting out with our exit music. I'm sorry, Amy. But yes, you can donate on Amy's website. Her money all goes to good causes. It's a tiny, tiny nonprofit, and she works so hard. So she is worthy and deserving of support. All right, that's all for this week. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Free Talk California. Have a good one.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.